You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, I chat with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams from Berlin, about Ukraine, elections in Bosnia, and more. I started by asking him for an update on the war in Ukraine.
On Friday, Putin announced the annexation of the four territories it partially holds in Ukraine, preceding a big propaganda concert in Red Square. The annexation is widely condemned as illegal and is only recognized by North Korea. So what are the new borders? Well, not even the Kremlin knows. Yesterday, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said that they were still in discussion. With Ukraine continuing to make gains on the battlefield, it seems like these new Russian borders are drawn in pencil rather than pen. On Saturday, a day after it was supposedly Russian territory, Ukraine liberated the key town of Lyman in northern Donetsk, forcing an estimated 5,000 Russian soldiers to tactically regroup. And today, gains have been made in the southern front in the Kherson Oblast. Reports of more Ukrainian advances in the north of the region have been stated, going down along the Dnieper River. Analysts are saying that Ukrainian forces are trying to recapture as much territory as possible before winter and Russian conscripts arrive. On Friday, Ukraine announced a fast-track application to NATO. Well, while it's unlikely that they'll be approved, and they're already receiving significant military support from the alliance, 11 members have still signaled their support. They're mainly former Eastern Bloc countries, as well as Canada. Sweden and Finland are still awaiting approval into the bloc, with applications being held up by Hungary and Turkey. The US have also announced another further weapons support package with more artillery, as well as mine-clearing vehicles, totaling over $60 million. And the EU have today announced that aid for Ukraine will be integrated into next year's fiscal budget in an effort to make the aid more structured and predictable. The EU had faced criticism by Ukraine for not following through with paying its 9 billion euro support package previously announced in May, with only 1 billion so far being paid and another 2 billion due this month. It's estimated that Ukraine needs roughly 5 billion euro a month in aid to keep its economy afloat. Up to 30 people were killed, including women and children, on Friday after Russian shelling struck a humanitarian convoy in Zaporizhia. And in the recently liberated town of Izium, the Associated Press have reported of finding up to 10 torture sites throughout the town, as well as up to 30 of the over 400 bodies and graves found throughout the city showing signs of torture.
And Germany has announced a 200 billion euro package to soften the blow in energy prices this winter, but not everyone is happy. How come?
Yeah, last Thursday, Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced a 200 billion euro aid package to help the country with energy prices as inflation hit a 70-year high to 10% last month. Initially, a 2.4 cent per kilowatt surcharge on gas prices was due to come in October after being announced in August. The aim was to guarantee supply from energy importers as well as nudging consumers to limit usage. However, it's come under heavy backlash after critics claimed it would be subsidizing energy company profits as well as costing homes hundreds of extra euros per year. This levy will now be scrapped, and instead the Bundesbank will subsidize gas usage across industry and consumers. It will include price caps on gas and electricity, as well as a windfall tax on energy company profits. It will be 5% of Germany's GDP and come from Germany's COVID response fund. So with temperatures dropping quickly, households are still being urged to lower usage, with the national gas regulator last week stating that household usage is still too high and they may have to resort to, quote, emergency measures in the future. In contrast, industry has made savings of 22% since August. Household gas consumption uses 40% of the country's supplies, with industry using 60%. And I can say anecdotally, everyone's been discussing when or if they've turned on their heaters, and as well as other energy saving tips here in Berlin. While German power companies are trying to calm fears over power failures, I saw today an article in the Daily Tagesspiegel on how to deal with rolling blackouts. So while most Germans are pleased about the support, the rest of the EU is quite unhappy. Politicians across the bloc are claiming it's unfair and goes against the EU's principles of solidarity. Italian Energy Minister Roberto Cingolani on Sunday stated that, quote, the Germans are more worried about the supply of gas than the price, but for the other 26 countries, it's not like that. So there are concerns that Germany is able to leverage its strong financial position to buy gas, which could put other member states at a disadvantage. Germany's aid package is triple that of France's, with French finance minister yesterday stating, quote, it is essential that we preserve the level playing field between the Eurozone member states and between member states in general. So there will be a meeting on Friday in which member states will discuss possible options to the energy crisis. While a gas price across the bloc is still in contention, an EU-wide lending framework similar to what was set up during COVID looks more likely.
And there were some elections in Bosnia and Herzegovina. What were the results of that one?
Yeah, so Bosnia held presidential and parliamentary elections on Sunday amidst claims the country's in its worst political crisis since the end of the Bosnian War in 1995. Bosnia is currently split amongst two administrative divisions, Bosnia and Herzegovina, which have a primarily Bosnian-Croatian and Bosniak population, and the Republika Srpska, which has a primarily Bosnian-Serb population. The Bosnian presidency is also split three ways, with a Bosnian-Croatian, a Bosniak, and a Bosnian-Serb each holding office, with the Bosnian-Serb holding presidency for the Republika Srpska. The Bosnian parliament also has provisions where one ethnic group can block legislation if it fears it will hurt the interests of their group. This political setup has remained unchanged since the 1995 Dayton Peace Agreements, and the provisions where different groups can block legislation has been claimed to cause the country for its lack of progress. Turnout was low at just 50%, and in Bosnia and Herzegovina, it was seen as a battle between reformers and nationalists, with a surprise win by the reformers. Denis Petrovic of the centre-left Social Democrats won the Bosniak presidency, while Zeljko Komšić of the centre-left Democratic Front won the Croatian presidency. In Republika Srpska, the nationalist Zelika Šivanović won the presidency. Republika Srpska has had traditionally strong ties with Serbia and Russia and is currently seeking secession from Bosnia and Herzegovina after voting in December to withdraw its participation from Bosnia's military, finance and judicial system. So while this plan is currently on hold, there are still fears that tensions could flare given Russia's ongoing war in Ukraine. While the OSCE state the elections were competitive, fears remain over divisive rhetoric and failed reforms. There was also criticism over last-minute changes to electoral law made by the International Peace Envoy to Bosnia, with the leader of the envoy, former German politician Christian Schmidt, claiming it was necessary to prevent an electoral blockade.
And lastly, new research on a recently discovered black frog in Chernobyl has been published. Do they know why it changed colour?
Yeah, so since the nuclear disaster in 1986 at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, the very large exclusion zone around the site has proved a haven for wildlife and has since become one of Europe's largest nature reserves. Spanish scientists in 2016 have discovered a type of eastern tree frog with a rare black tint. Between 2017 and 2019, they then analyzed tree frogs around northern Ukraine and were able to determine that frogs closer to Chernobyl would get a progressively darker tint, with some being pitch black. They believe that the frogs could have undergone a process of rapid evolution in response to radiation, with the darker frogs, which contain melanin, being able to survive radiation more successfully and breed better. Scientists German Oziala of the University of Oviedo and Pablo Buraco of the Spanish National Research Council released their findings this week and are looking forward to the war ending to continue their field research.
That was our European correspondent Cameron Adams chatting to me in this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.